know a little bit about what they talk about. This old life ain't full of fun and carnival.
Amen. I'm glad we can go to church and steal away for a little while. I'm glad we can go to our prayer closet and get away a little while. I was at Brother David's church the other night. A preacher was praying. Now, I got up and I was listening to him preach. I was helping him preach, trying to, agging him on. I went to the back of the church from the pulpit. We were praying. Boy, I mean, God sat down on top of me. Smothered me. Wouldn't let me up. I felt a little bit about how Jacob felt. And I'm telling you what, when he turned me loose, it was something. Ain't it amazing? But can I tell you, prayer still works tonight. And I'm glad we've got a God that knows all about it. Lord, I felt so good singing. I may try to take Brother Tim's place Sunday. Amen. Amen. I may just go to singing and a preaching around here. Thank the Lord. Lord, it sounds like a dying calf on a barbed wire fence. I know who I'm a dying for. Amen. I bless the name of the good Lord. Nehemiah chapter 9. Now, in the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting, with sackcloths, and earth upon them. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers, stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. They stood up in their place, read in the book of the law, the Lord their God, 1/4 part of the day, another 1/4 part they confess and worship the Lord their God. Verse number 5. The Bible says, stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. Blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. Though even thou art Lord alone, thou hast made heaven the heaven of heavens, with all their host of earth, and all things that are therein, the seas, and all that's therein. Watch this. He didn't only make them, neighbor, he kept them. And thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for the Lord of glory. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the songs of Zion. Thank you for these good people tonight that's come to your house. Help us to be a blessing now. We'll be careful to honor you and thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Lord, I'm so encouraged I can leave now and say hallelujah. Well, there's really 4 things I want to share with you tonight, and I'll be real brief. Got a little new light on them this morning. As I told you earlier today, I got up early and began to study, and God had put a few thoughts on my heart out of this chapter. Nehemiah is an interesting book. Now, I sure am glad there's been some Nehemiahs that have come along and got a burden to build. Boy, if somebody can get a hold of a burden, that's what we're missing in our church, is a burden. We've got real lackadaisical. We just, sort of rowing along. Nothing really gets us to God unless a storm comes or unless something bad happens. We ought to be on fire for God. And I mean, always walking close like the boys sung tonight. There's wonderful closeness. And I thank the Lord for that tonight. And certainly, you'll notice here the writer, God is. I'm glad I've been around some old preachers to let me know about who God is. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of young boys coming up. They ain't got a clue about who God is. And evidently from what's going on, there's a lot of old fellers that forgot about who God is. But I'm going to tell you something. I want to say, first of all, we've got a God that can be read. I'm glad we can read about our God. But I don't want to sell him short, honey. We don't only read about what he used to do. We know tonight what he can do tonight. I'm glad I'm pastoring a church that ain't got to read about what God used to do. I'm glad I'm in on what God is doing tonight. is a God that can be read. Now notice what they done. Nehemiah 8, verse 17, all the congregation of them that were come again out of captivity, they made booths, or little huts, and they said unto the booths, for since the day of Joshua, the son of Nun, to that day, had not the children of Israel done so. And there was very great gladness. Also, day by day, from the first day to the last day, he read in the book of the law of God. They kept the feast 7 days. On the 8th day was a solemn assembly according to the manner. Now, first of all, tonight, he's a God that can be read. And you'll notice when you read about him, when you open this book up and get around him, it brings humiliation. Look in chapter 9, verse 1, what they done. The Bible said they assembled. That's where we all ought to get in America tonight, with fasting and with sackcloths and earth upon them, showing humiliation. Boy, tonight man thinks they've got smarter than God. Job said something in the book of Job about man in chapter number 15 and verse number 14. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. That's Job 14:14. But now listen to what he says in 15 and 14. What is man that he should be clean? He which is born of a woman, that he should be righteous? What is man? Let me tell you, we're nothing without God. God breathed the breath of life in us. I don't believe in Darwin's theory. I believe that God made man in the image of himself. We have spirit, soul, and body. I'm going to tell you tonight, honey, this body is going to the graveyard, but this soul and spirit is going to one or two places. If you're born again by the grace of God, it's going to heaven. Because the Bible said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Hey, there is no in-between, friend. There is no purgatory that's out of hell tonight. You die without Jesus, you'll lift your eyes in hell. And we better humble ourselves and realize we need a God tonight. I've noticed when this God's read about, it brings a humiliation. What is man? Man is nothing without God. But isn't it amazing how he takes the little things and does big things? God don't need big things to do big things. He loves to get little things and do big things. He loves to get ugly things and do beautiful things. Rahab the harlot's in the hall of faith. Boy, isn't it amazing how God does things. And it ought to humble us tonight under the hand of a mighty God. You'll notice he's a God that can be read. I'm glad I can read about him. May I say I got a copy of the right Bible. If it ain't King James on it, you ain't got a Bible. Amen. You got a prototype. You got an imitation. You got something else beside the Word of God. This got Grandpa saved. It'll get your grandbaby saved. We don't need a new Bible. We need men of God filled with the Spirit of God preaching the Bible tonight. Boy, you'll find out that he is a God that can be read. It brings humility. Job said, what is man? I'm all for education. I wished I had more. Matter of fact, I'm smarter than a lot of y'all think I am. I don't play real smart, so I can figure out things. Just sort of sit back and look. And I may not be the sharpest pencil in the box. And I may not be the sharpest knife in the drawer. But honey, let me tell you, I didn't ride in on the first load of pumpkins this year neither. We need the God of this Bible back in our country. We need the God of this Bible in our church. Man is nothing without God. We're nothing without God. Job said, what is man? Nothing but flesh. You see, He's a God that can be read, and when you read, it brings humiliation. Verse number 2, it'll bring separation. The Bible said in the seed of Israel, when they read, they separated themselves from all strangers. Some of you are not going to like this. But I'm going to tell you why God put the law of separation in the Bible is because of whoring after other gods. You know why our country's mixed up tonight about religion? Because we let the gates down and let their other gods come in here. I believe in a land of the free. I believe a man ought to have a choice. But let me tell you, honey, you keep your gods on the other side of the river. For me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I'm glad that He is the God of America. Thank God there's still a Christian nation in this day and hour that I live. They separated themselves from all strangers. Let me tell you something tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse 14. Ain't no sense you getting mad at me. I didn't write the Bible. I just read it loud. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. I want you to look in verse number 4 this evening. This thing of separation. I don't think we better than nobody else. But honey, let me tell you something. A Christian ought to act like a Christian. Young people, watch this in your Bible. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You know what that means? Don't hitch up with somebody that don't believe like you believe. Amen. I'm going to give you some good business advice. Don't go in business with nobody. But if you do, be sure they're a Christian. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I'll dwell in them, I'll walk in them, and I'll be their God. They shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them. Don't bring them in your church. Don't go to Six Flags with them. If you lay with dogs, you're going to catch fleas. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Let me tell you something. You show me a church hadn't got standards, I'll show you a church ain't got the power of God there. Now, I'm not caught up on things and do's tonight, but I'm going to tell you something, honey. When you drop old-time Christian values and old-time Bible standards, you can just wave bye-bye to the Holy Ghost. We don't need the world's methods. We don't need the world's music. We don't need the world's manners. We don't need the world's materials. We got everything we need in this Bible tonight. I feel like the storefront days. Glad God's helping me tonight. Wish I could say amen and leave on this high note. I know some of you wished I'd hurry up and leave, but I ain't. You look what it says. When you get around God, it'll bring humiliation and it'll bring separation. You ought to be a fish out of water if you're running with heathens. Now I realize you can't win nobody to Jesus being in a corn crib with blinders on. But let me tell you, honey, when we walk in this world, they ought to be able to identify that we're different, that we're set apart by the glory of God, and He's put something in us. We ought to act right, we ought to walk right, and we ought to spit white every chance that we get. I still believe in dressing right. Some of you gals need to let the hem out of your dresses. Some of you boys need to button your shirt up. Ain't nobody impressed about what you look like. while I'm there, cigarettes will kill you while I'm on it. Social drinking will lead you to a drunkard. It goes to leaning, neighbor, it'll fall. Separation. Judges 21:25. This is where we are tonight. Judges 21:25. Separation. Boy, it's amazing how this Bible's right on time. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. It don't matter what you think, and it don't matter what I think. It's what this book says. Judges 21:25. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eye. That's why we're in a mess in America. This book needs to run our lives and ought to run our country, and that ought to run our churches. You say, well, you mean, well, that's just my mannerism. I'm reading the Word of God. But I guarantee you one thing, friend, you get to reading about God out of this book, and it'll bring separation to your life. Proverbs 12, verse number 15. Proverbs 12, verse number 15. You show me a man that'll drink a can of beer. No, it won't send you to hell, but it'll make you live like you're going there. Well, that got quiet. You go to letting them drink one beer at your shop, they'll be drinking a case by tomorrow night. And you young'uns, don't let nobody tell you social drinking's all right, because it ain't all right. I'll show you every drunk and bowed, and they took one drink. Social drinking. It's, somebody said they called the pastor the other day of a church, and they couldn't get him up because he is drunk. I tell you what they ought to do. They ought to tar and feather that rascal and run him out of town. I know there are medicinal purposes, but us Baptists, we want to keep a cold in July. Visit the bootlegger. Got a little sniffle coming on. Go see the bootlegger. I know NyQuil's Christian liquor. I know that. I'm talking about, honey, you're hobnogging with the Joneses, getting you a can of Bud Light just because you fit in with somebody. Why don't you be a Christian or take your sign down? Brought separation, Proverbs 12 and 15. The way of a fool's right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Proverbs 21 and 2. Every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the heart. Glad he's a God that can be read. In Romans 16 and 17, let me give you some good Sunday school literature right here. Romans 16 and 17. Look what the Bible says. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you've learned. That's why doctrine's so important. A lot of y'all, you can't hardly stand it unless I'm turning the pulpit over. You need to set yourself down and listen to teaching, preaching, and get indoctrinated so you're not a dummy in this Bible. I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you've learned. And go eat catfish with them. Avoid them. You know why?
For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has come abroad to all men. I'm glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise of that which is good and simple concerning evil. You better watch what advice you're getting. If it don't line up in this book, you better drop that advice. People's got an agenda. You'll never go wrong standing on this book, and I don't care who it stands against. Got a new Bible, but it's still a King James Bible. And I ain't got all my stuff marked in it, but I bet I can find it. Second John. That's right for the little book of Jude. 2 John 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Muslims are an antichrist. You better know your Bible. Look to yourselves. That we lose not those things which we've wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Verse 10. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. If a Jehovah Witness comes in, you don't fix them coffee. Tell them to hit the road. You see, the devil loves to deceive the hard, the simple. You know when the wolf attacks the church, what he gets? He don't get the old rams. He knows he'll get butted. He gets the little weak lambs. And any pastor that don't see the wolf coming and don't blow the horn, he ain't worthy of his cornbread. You better line up what you're getting instructions from. And if it don't line up from this book, you better drop it. And I don't give a rip who's telling you. If it ain't in this book, stick a rag in it. Can you understand that? Now, I can get a little plainer if we need to. Maybe I'm preaching on your terms tonight. If somebody comes and tells you that being a Christian is old-timey and it's washed out, they are the devil. Young people, if somebody tells you you ought to get out of a church that's old-timey preaching and singing, they are the devil. Anybody try to get your family out of a God-preaching, God-fearing church is of the devil. You better be careful whose instructions you're getting. Because if it ain't in this book, it's a lie. And guess what? This book's going to stand when the world's a-burning. I don't care if the president's telling you that it won't work, it will work. I don't care if your teacher, I don't care if your professor says it won't work, it will work. It's a proven book. The problem ain't with the book, the problem is applying it. Sometimes it's like coat you've outgrowed and you've eaten too many biscuits. It don't fit too good. And you got to get trimmed down where it feels pretty good. I love honey and biscuits. Biscuits.
Miss Renee bought these new little biscuits. They're not called tea biscuits. They're kissing cousins to tea biscuit. They're not them big Aunt Sue biscuits. They're them medium-sized biscuits. She told me the other morning, she said, how many biscuits you want? I said, two will be enough. And I looked in the pan. I said, honey, now we done cut back too much around here. I love biscuits and honey. But I tell you what I done noticed. I'm reaching in the back and getting suits I'm generally wearing in the wintertime in September. But ain't nothing wrong with the book. He says avoid them. Don't ride around with them all weekend. That stuff will rub off on you. It'll brainwash you. People have motives that are hid. Hid. They all about they self. Am I doing all right? He's a God that can be read. When you read about Him, it brings humiliation. Brings separation. That's exactly why churches is in a mess tonight. They quit separating themselves from the world. The world's music and entertainment. I like what one man said in the prayer room tonight. Well, what'd he say? Well, you'd have heard it if you'd been in there. If you'd been at choir practice, you'd heard what he said there. I tell you why big ships don't sail this way no more, because people had another motive. Don't offend nobody, preacher. Well, let me tell you, this book cuts me. And it ought to cut all of us if we're going to live by it. It's a book that can, He's a God that can be read. It brings humiliation. It brings separation. Then, verse number 3, it brings confession. Look what they've done. Verse 3, Nehemiah 9. They stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord their God a fourth part of the day, and another part they confess and worship the Lord their God. 3 hours they read, 3 hours they confessed. I don't know why they didn't confess 6 hours. Dark must have caught them. Boy, I tell you, we have 45 minutes of preaching and 3 minutes of altar call. But you see, He's a God that can be read, and when you get around Him, it'll bring humiliation, separation, but it'll bring confession. You know what confession means in verse 3? It means acknowledgement. It acknowledges the truth. I like what one writer said. Listen, this may help you. Sometimes when people are growing because of spending time reading the Word, they feel they are becoming more sinful when in fact they're becoming more holy. The more I read this book and the more I get close to God, the more sinful I see how I am. But it's not because I'm getting more sinful, it's because I'm getting more holy. I didn't look sinful until I got to reading this book. Am I doing all right so far? I love looking at some of you tonight. I love looking at some of you tonight. This church started on preaching. As long as I'm here, we're going to finish your own preaching. Not going to be mean to nobody. Not going to mistreat nobody. But we ain't backing down off this book. There's plenty of them places you can go if you don't like preaching. He's a God that can be read. I want to say confession to salvation confirms us. Jesus said if you'd confess Him before the world, He'd confess you before the Father. I think we ought to confess Him unto salvation.
Jesus is Lord. There's one way to heaven, that is Jesus Christ. There is no other way to heaven. Boy, confession to salvation confirms us. But you know, confession of sinfulness, it cleanses us. I dealt with this morning, 1 John 1, verse number 8. 1 John 1, verse number 8. Now let me tell you, Jesus never turned away a sinner, but He never petted a sin. Did you know that? In the eyes of God, He never petted a sin, but He received every sinner that would confess their sin. And when you're truly sorry of what you've done, you won't gloat about it. And I can tell you this, I found out when I've truly repented of my sin, I'm not sticking my head up above everybody else saying, look at me. I'm keeping my head down real low. Now watch your Bible. 1 John. Look in the back. 1 John chapter number 1. 1 John 1, right for the book of Jude. 1 John 1. Confession. Now he says this in verse number 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. And there's no way I can point a finger at you and tell you, unless my life is ironed out with this book. And you know what hurts people from coming to church more than anything? People thinking that they are above other people. But let me tell you something. We all stand even at the foot of the cross. If we, that's us, not the world, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And look, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Boys had it right tonight singing. Boy, closeness is wonderful. There's nothing I hate any worse than to have sin in my life. I hate it. Sin is habitual. You can't just do a little sin and it just keeps adding up on it. That's why you got to keep it knocked out of your life. When sin comes up, confess it and get rid of it and go on for the glory of God. You say, well, did God really forgive me? He said He did. He said He did. He's a God that is red. Then look in Psalms 51 at David's confession. I'm going to show you where real confession lies tonight. It ain't blaming nobody else. When you really confess your sins, it's between you and God. I got nobody else to blame. The devil didn't make me do nothing. The devil might have tempted me, but he didn't make me do nothing. Am I okay tonight? Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Quit blaming it on the devil. Put the blame where it goes, on yourself. Have mercy upon me, O God. According to Thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of Thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. I'm going to tell you something. When I sin, I can't get away from it. It's right here. And I can't sleep on it. I can't eat around it. I might take me 3 or 4 Tylenol, but it don't make it go away. Just confessing it. And it ain't no sense in me blaming my sin on my wife, blaming it on my church. Don't get quiet on this preacher. Put the blame where it goes. It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord. They sometimes, I went home and said, well, preaching wasn't too good. It wasn't your fault.
My fault. Don't get quiet on me. Confession's personal. David said, I acknowledge my transgression, my sins ever before me. Against thee, verse 4, and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Thou mightest be justified. Young people, you might be hiding it from your mom and daddy, but you ain't hiding it from God. Congregation, you listen to me. You listen to this preacher. Be sure your sin will find you out. That's why when sin comes, you better confess it and get it out of your life. And it ain't a one of us here that ain't sinned. It ain't a one. It ain't no sense in nobody pointing a finger saying you get what you deserve. What do we deserve? But let me tell you something, way to take care of sin. You confess it and get it out of your life and move on with life. And quit blaming everybody else about your sin. If I'm big enough to do it, I'll take big enough responsibility to say I done it. Hope you're taking notes. And then you know what the devil will tell you? He ain't forgive you of that. The Bible said he did. Quit dwelling in it. Move on. Did you know I was reading a survey this week? It's 8:05. I ain't in my first point. I declare I get long-winded the older I get. Looks like I'd be... I know some of you are saying. I got on Sunday night, Miss Renee, she said, Ken, the preacher's done preached. Why you got to preach again? I said, Mama ain't preached in 3 services. Now I forgot what I was going to say. But I know it's something good. It'll come back and I'll lay down tonight. When I'm getting my geritol out in the morning. Glad he's a God that can be read. I know what it was. I was reading a survey today. Worry. I'm going to preach a sermon on worry. Said 40% of people's worry is worrying about their past. Why would you worry about something God's done forgive you for? I wouldn't worry about what God's done put under the blood. I'd let Him worry about that. When you really confess your sin, you make acknowledgement, it's me, God, it's me. He's a God that can be read. And I want to say in verse 5, He's a God that's real. I'm glad that the writer in the book of Nehemiah said this. He said in verse number 5, he said, stand up and bless the Lord your God. I'm glad He's real. Verse 9, I'm glad He's reputable. You know what he said? He said in verse 10, see, didst thou get thee a name as it is this day. God made him a name and he kept it. A name means a lot to God. It ought to mean a lot to you. Proverbs 22:1. I'm closing. Proverbs 22:1. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and love and favor rather than silver and gold. Let me tell you something. It does matter what kind of name you got. When you lose respect, you've lost it all. He's a God that can be read. He's a God that is real, but He's a God that is reputable. He's made Him a name and He's kept it.
You know how He made Him that name? I preached there Sunday night before last on them 10 plagues that come on Pharaoh's army. But the blood on the doorpost saved God's people. And I want to close this sermon with this last thought. Look at verse 16 and 17. He's a God that can be read. He is a God that is real. He is a God that is reputable. And fourthly and lastly tonight, He is a God that's ready. Verse 16 and 17. He said, He talked about all that God had done for him. But they and our fathers dealt proudly and hardened their necks and hardened not to thy commandments and refused to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and forsookest them not. I'm glad He's a God that is ready. He's a God ready to pardon. You know what that word means? To forgive. He's a God that is ready to be gracious. It means to have favor, to bend or stoop. How low has God had to reach down to get us? And He says He's ready to be merciful. It means compassionate. You know, there's nothing. Miss Sherry, I wish you'd come play tonight for me. Just something softly on the instrument. You know, we've had fun preaching tonight. I think it's timely preaching. Where our country is, the Bible says we better not receive them. We better not take the things as contradictory to this Word of God. But you know something bothers me more than anything? It's when I do make a mistake. And when I do sin, my conscience and emotions. But I'm so glad there's a God there that's ready to forgive. I'm glad He's ready to be gracious, ready to be merciful. I wish our country could see that. Wouldn't that be something? I heard at the Harrelson County ball game this week, did y'all hear about that uproar? And they all quoted the Lord's Prayer. That's what we ought to be doing all over this country. I mean, the people ought to just stand up for God and God would take over. But we've allowed this atheist just to push us in a corner and hush us up. Psalmist David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Won't you come gather around here tonight?